David, welcome. Good morning. Welcome back to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Hey, good to be with you.
David, I called you last night or tweeted you because we have an unusual circumstance, and this is not a partisan conversation, it's a historical one. Since World War II, there have only been four times where two-term presidents have finished their term. You might consider five if you count Johnson as a two-term president. 2008 with W, 2000 with William W. Jefferson Clinton, 1988 with Ronald Reagan, 1960 with Ike, and then 1968 with LBJ if you count that as a two-termer. In each of those cases, they didn't go on the campaign trail, I don't think,
right. In
the way that President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama are out there. Am I right about that? This is really a unique circumstance?
It is a unique circumstance, but it's also unique that you have a president who is, one, a political asset to the nominee, and, B, is fully supportive of the nominee. I mean, we've had cases... for example, with Eisenhower, where he was famously reluctant in the case of Nixon to put his full imprimatur on him. You remember one of the great negative ads of all time was provided by Dwight D. Eisenhower when he was asked if he could name a major decision that Nixon helped him make. And he said at a press conference, if you give me a week, I may think of one.
And he later regretted. He said he later regretted that because he should have said when he had the heart attack, Dick Nixon did it exactly right. But he nevertheless stepped in it. That's the danger of having a sitting president out there talking, isn't it?
Yeah, perhaps. Again, in the nonpartisan spirit of our discussion, just to George W. Bush was mired in the 20s in his approval rating. By the time the fall of 2008 rolled around, Bill Clinton wanted a campaign for Al Gore, and Al Gore opted not to have him campaign for him, which has been, that is a hotly disputed decision and has been.
Where were Clinton's numbers, President Clinton's numbers then, David? Were they?
Oh, they were high. They were high. I mean, he left office. Well into the 50s. So, there was a view of many of his supporters that he could have been helpful. Gore wanted to separate himself, and that is, you can find a pretty hot argument among a lot of Democrats as to whether that was a smart decision or not. And then, in the case of Reagan, I think he obviously... spoke, but didn't do a lot of active campaigning. But some of that had to do with, even though he was popular, there was a sense on George H.W. Bush's part that he had to establish his own identity and his own sort of leadership bona fides. And there was also, I think, some limitation on Reagan at that point. But you were there. I mean, you would know more.
Well, there was. It was a definite standoff, and in fact, the Reaganauts were getting, very clear messages, time to, pack the desk and get ready to move the furniture, because HW is going to not want you people around. Dick Darman's coming to town.
I also think in that case, when you think back, Reagan was such an enormous figure at that time that George H.W. Bush was, he was sort of dwarfed in that shadow, and a lot of that campaign was about establishing his own identity. There were other things around Contra and so on were rattling around. But I think a lot of it had to do with George H.W. Bush needing to show that he was standing on his own and so on. So I think that it is true that, and then Johnson, of course, was... run out. He would have been running if he were able.
That was toxic, so, right? He was toxic. Yeah, he was toxic in 2008 because of a war gone bad.
Now and I don't. I think in this case, Obama is a political asset to Hillary Clinton. He also now is in the low to mid 50s in his approval rating, and he's highly popular among some key groups that she needs to mobilize. here.
In fact, I want to, for the audience, set up how extraordinary this is to see the president and first lady on the campaign trail. I went back through my notes. I believe the last sitting president to actually be Teddy aggressively Roosevelt, involved is Coolidge. I think it's Coolidge working for Hoover.
I thought Cal was silent. I didn't know.
So let's talk about what a president, and especially, you know, Michelle Obama has turned out to be the secret weapon at the Democratic convention yesterday in Arizona. Barn burner. You've known her a long time. I know she's given a few political speeches. I think of her primarily as non-political. And
yes.
Is there a risk to her in doing this, or is this simply a compliment to what she's done?
Not in the way, I don't think in the way that she is campaigning, you know, Hugh. You know, she's giving speeches that are very sort of value-laden and personal and to her, and I don't think she's hurting herself. It is, to me, it's really interesting because, you know, she was a reluctant conscript to politics. I mean, when Michelle, you know, she had her own sort of professional life, and she was very committed, as she is now, to the kids. And so there was this understanding between them before he ran for president that, you know, he that was his career. She would be as supportive as she could, but she wasn't really involved. You know, she didn't campaign terribly much for him. In 2004, when he ran for the Senate, for example, campaign that I was involved in, and that was just the understanding between them. You know, obviously, when you run for president, it's a different deal. So she gave up a lot, and to help him and assist him, and then as first lady, and. But she's, you know, people say to me all the time, well, do you think she might run for office sometime? I would bet everything that I own against that prospect. She is not someone who loves politics or at all. And I don't think she's really out there as a political figure now. She's out there because she feels passionately about the choice here.
I really do not think, and there are some conservatives who believe she is political. She has been, like Laura Bush, very non-political. I am curious if you think she would ever accept an appointment to the bench, because she was a pretty good lawyer before she went into the role of first lady.
She was. You know, another question, but I've never discussed with her. I would say no, because the fact is she was a good lawyer. She went to a little, I think you may have attended this place at least as an undergraduate. You
know, I'm a University of Michigan lawyer.
Yes, but yep. she went to your college alma mater.
Yes, she's a Harvard lawyer. Yep.
And but she really, she hasn't, she was less about the practice of law than about doing other kinds of work. She worked for the University of Chicago kind of community relations work and building a community health network and things like that. So, you know, I've never heard her speak in that context. I honestly think she's going to be very happy to get her life back when this is over and to recede a little bit from the public.
And David Axelrod, can you tell us
that she cares about?
Does she actually use a professional speechwriter, or is she doing this on her own here?
She has this wonderful woman named Sarah Hurwitz, who was actually a speechwriter for Hillary and wrote that speech about the 18 million cracks in the glass ceiling when Hillary conceded in 2000 and 2008. So she's a great speechwriter. Concession, by the way, Hugh, is what you do when the other person gets more votes than you. But anyway, we'll move on.
We'll come back after the break. David Axelrod is my guest. If you're enjoying this, I always love talking to him. The Axe Files, AXE Files, just Google it. It's the University of Chicago Institute of Politics. David Axelrod has settled in there and does a terrific podcast, left, right, and center, with guests who talk to him at great length. I don't know who he's talking to later today, but I got to come back and talk to him about how the Indians are going to dominate the Cubs in the World Series and the president on the road again. It has been since Calvin Coolidge, I think, since a sitting president hit the road with this much vigor for a successor of the same party. Stay tuned. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt on a Friday heading into the weekend. We're not doing the Hillsdale Dialogues this week because I fell behind on The Brave New World with Dr. Larry Arnn. So I called up David Axelrod and asked him to join me on a historical nonpartisan look back at sitting presidents campaigning. You ought to be listening to the Axe Files with David Axelrod. David, of course, President Obama's senior strategist in 2008 campaign, the 2012 campaign, assistant to the president for many years, the author, believer, one of the best political memoirs I've ever read. And now he's the founder and director of the University of Chicago Institute of Politics, and he brings you the Axe Files every single week, most recently with John Heilman, Ron Brownstein, Maureen Dowd. I've been a guest on the Axe Files. Who are you talking to today, David Axelrod?
I am talking to Tim Kaine.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Perilous. Yeah. Perilous. You know, this is the interesting tension. When a president goes on the road, as President Obama and First Lady Obama, they can make a mistake. Last night, the president riffed a little bit, and here's what he said when he was talking about Obamacare.
And think about it. When one of these companies comes out with a new smartphone, then it has a few bugs, what do? They fix it. They upgrade it. Unless it catches fire, then they just... Then they pulled off market.
Now, David, put aside, we're not going to talk about the politics of Obamacare. I want to talk about, you're a strategist. You put the president out there. The president loves to tell a joke and get a laugh line. We all do, right? But then people like me grab that audio and we run with it. So is he risking something by being out there?
Well, I think anytime you're president and you're out, you're risking something. And I understand why someone like you would pick up a clip like that to launch into a discussion on that issue. But I think that's a small matter.
Of course, it's not going to drive any. But let me ask: if it was other than Donald Trump, if it was one of the standard issue Republican candidates who were on that debate stage, do you think he would be this actively involved in the campaign?
That's a very good question. I think he would be involved. I don't think with the kind of vigor and vim. I mean, there's no question, Hugh, that he likes Hillary Clinton. He respects Hillary Clinton. He's worked closely with her. So I don't think there's any ambivalence there. But he obviously has an additional incentive because I think he feels strongly about Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump is someone who fires up his engines here because of his view that Donald Trump isn't fit for the presidency, and he's out there prosecuting that case.
Last question: he's a young man. He's got a lot of campaigns ahead of him. George W. Bush has stayed out. Ronald Reagan stayed out. He went to the 92 convention before his disease settled and he was able to give a great speech there. Mm-hmm. And then there wasn't a question. Do you expect President Obama to return to the trail every 4 years, David Axelrod?
Well, it's up to those nominees, but he's leaving office as a popular president, and I don't think he's going to become less popular over time. So I think he will be asked to do it, and he'll measure, how much he can and should do. I think a lot of his efforts are going to be around his foundation and non-profit work and so on in the next 30 years or however many the good Lord affords him, hopefully more. But when you have an asset like that, I mean, Ronald Reagan returned and spoke at the convention again in 92, you'll remember, a very poignant.
Yes. I saw him the week before that speech was given, and it was something was not right at his office with Mrs. Reagan, and we were talking about the library, but he carried off that speech amazingly well.
He did. And, were he able, I'm sure they would have employed him more. So we'll see. It will be up not just to President Obama, but the nominee. But I suspect because he's leaving as a popular president, he'll be more popular over time, that there'll be a lot of demand for it.
David Axelrod, great to have you this morning. Thanks for adding some historical perspective. It really is unusual, America, going back, I think, to Coolidge, to have a sitting president this active on the campaign trail. Read and listen to the...
How unusual is it to have the Cubs in the World Series the first time since 1945? We just have to win one more game to meet your Cleveland Indians.
And, David, when that happens, come back, because it's going to be very sad for Chicago, and I feel bad for you, but this is a team of destiny. The Indians are a team of destiny. It's such a 2016 World Series if it's the Cubs. Thank you, David Axelrod. Don't go anywhere, America.